My name is Gabriel, and before the earth was made, I was worshiping God. We angels are nothing like you people. We are a different species, to use your language. We are immortal spirits. Just as you are far away and above animals, so we angels are far away and above you. There is no more wonderful activity than worshiping the Lord God Almighty. I know for many of you that is hard to believe, but the seraphim are the envy of the angelic host, of the angelic armies, because they get to stand in the presence of God, worshiping Him day and night, standing in His glory, experiencing His beauty and goodness at all times. I know it's hard for you to believe that worship is the most wonderful, glorious thing that you can ever do. How should you respond to unbelievable news, to God's unbelievable promises? We angels have no faith. We don't need faith. We've experienced God completely. We don't need to trust that He exists or that He is good. We have experienced it all. For us angels, there is no faith, there is no trust. There is only obedience or disobedience. There is only submission or rebellion. What should you do when you hear the unbelievable news of God, the miraculous things that you absolutely cannot believe? You humans have faith. You have the gift of trust. And with that special gift, you can please God more than us angels ever could. You can please the Lord God Almighty. You can make Him happy by trusting Him, by giving Him faith. It is unbelievable, the gift that you have. For millennia, I have watched humanity take this gift of faith and fail, time and time again. For every act of belief, for every act of trust, there are 1,000 decisions of unbelief. There are 1,000 decisions of doubt. For every Abraham, there are hundreds of people in Sodom and Gomorrah who refuse to believe God. For every Moses, there's an entire army of Israel that doubts God's power and runs away from His promises and His promised land. For every King David, there is a King Saul and an entire nation of men and women who are willing to put their trust in a flawed man rather than to trust in the Lord God Almighty. For millennia, I have watched over humanity and I have seen time and again men and women failing to trust God. They would doubt and doubt, and so God would raise up prophet after prophet to speak His words to the people. And for every one person that believed the word of the prophet, there were 1,000 who doubted. It happened for so long that God finally put all of Israel into exile. While in exile, God gave visions to the man Daniel. He spoke to Daniel through dreams. He sent me, Gabriel, to go and interpret those dreams for Daniel and tell him what they meant. And so God, because of His love, because of His grace, because of His compassion, He allowed Israel to go back into the promised land. But even then, Israel, instead of embracing, instead of trusting God, they chose to follow the way of injustice over and over again, so much so that God was silent for hundreds of years. 2,000 years ago, The weight of sin was crushing humanity. It weighed so heavily on humanity that even though they could not put it into words and they didn't even know what the problem was, they called out for a Savior, for a Messiah, to save them from the weight of sin that was destroying everything that they had built. Everything your ancestors had built. And so, God began to do a new work. He chose me to go bring a message to an old priest. This old priest, well beyond the years of bearing children and fathering a child of his own, he was going to be the father of the prophet that would go before this Messiah who would save the world from their own sins. So I left God's presence, and I came down to the old priest Zechariah. I came down to Jerusalem. I came to the temple of God, and by your standards, it was beautiful. White marble and gold gleaming in the sunlight. People worshiping God day in and day out, similar to your church services today. It was as close to the beauty and glory of heaven as you could experience in this life, on earth as it is in heaven. I came to Zechariah, the old priest, and I was invisible from him, but my presence was there. I was excited to share the news that him and his wife, Elizabeth, would have a child that would become the prophet before the Messiah, the prophet who would declare the coming of the Messiah. I was excited because Zechariah was a man of faith. He had been faithful to the Almighty his entire life. He was highly educated. He knew the scriptures inside and out. He knew them as well as I did. He knew the stories of how God would take an elderly couple, well beyond the years of having children, and bless them with a miracle child that would fulfill God's purpose. Back in those days, there were more jobs. There were more jobs, but too many priests. There were too many priests to do the jobs, and so the priests, when they reported for their time of duty for 2 weeks, they would spend much of their day casting lots, rolling dice to decide who would do the jobs, who would go into the temple and change the oil in the lanterns, who would change the incense on the altar. As I went down, Zechariah was beginning the day casting lots with the rest of the priests. He had done this decade after decade, his entire life, and it had never come to much. He had never been selected for anything. The odds were too incredible for him to do anything inside the temple. But on that day, as he rolled the dice over and over and over again, I stood and I changed the outcome again and again and again. Until finally, Zechariah was chosen to change the incense in the holy place in the temple, further than he had ever gone before. He didn't even know anyone who had made it that far into the temple, into the holy place, into that sacred space. Zechariah was excited. And as the priests began to pray outside and Zechariah prepared the box of incense, I went before him into the temple. I stood behind the altar of incense, the Holy of Holies behind me. And I began to manifest my physical presence. I lowered the aura of the numinous that surrounded me. I cast aside my dunamis, and I appeared to him very much as you see me today. The old priest, he was coming into the temple, excited, nervous, carrying the box of incense, and I just stepped out from behind the altar And as soon as he saw me, he was terrified and almost dropped the box. And I said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayers have been answered. See, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to many in Israel. And he shall be the one to proclaim the coming of the Lord and prepare the hearts of many to receive the coming Lord." That was a lot to believe. True, I was asking him to trust quite a bit. It was an incredible miracle. He was old. His wife was well beyond the years of having children. But it wasn't without precedence. The whole of Israel had said that Zechariah and Elizabeth were cursed by God because they couldn't have children. But what had actually happened is God had closed Elizabeth's womb until this time so he could do a miracle and be a sign to all of Israel that God is working and that God has a message for them. I know it was an unbelievable promise for him, but it wasn't without precedence. In his own history, in the Bible, which he knew as well as I, God blessed Abraham and Sarah with a child in their old age, Elkanah and Hannah, and even Samson's parents, and more and more. God was in the business of giving older couples children, which were miracles. But if anyone was going to respond well, if anyone was going to trust God, if anyone was going to believe the message, it was Zechariah. He was the best Israel had to offer. How should you respond to God's unbelievable news? But the old priest said, how can I know that this is true? How can I know that this will come to pass? He was asking for a sign. He was asking for a sign, as if an angel appearing to him in the holy place of God was not enough. He was asking for a sign. And he continued, because I am so old and my wife, she's well beyond the years of having children. All at once, I gathered the aura of the numinous around me. I took back up my dunamis, and I blazed before him, and I said, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to give you this good news. Now, because you have not believed my message, you will no longer be able to speak until all of these things have come to pass." And then I disappeared from his sight. The old priest was nervous and scared and mute and fumbled with the incense as he tried to do his job and then went back out of the temple. For every act of faith, there are 1,000 moments of doubt. I understand. I don't fully understand faith, but I understand. I get it. He had doubts. He had questions. But he didn't have to act on those doubts. I understand you people doubt, and you have questions, but you can choose not to act on those doubts. How should you respond to God's unbelievable message, his unbelievable promises, his extraordinary promises? Six months passed. 6 months, and Elizabeth was beginning to show with child. The child was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his conception. It was a miracle that was already beginning to take form. And then the Almighty once again selected me to bring the news about the birth of the Messiah down to the woman who would carry him in her womb. What kind of woman would have the honor of carrying the Messiah? Certainly a queen. If not a queen, then maybe a woman from a highly respected priestly line, and or maybe a famous theologian who all knew and respected. That's not who God Almighty chose. He chose this peasant girl, Mary. This peasant girl from this region in Galilee, in this town called Nazareth, this backwater, middle of nowhere town. She wasn't from any family of means. She was the daughter of Heli. He was a man who worked hard, but he had to work hard every single day just to put food on the table for that day. This peasant girl, Mary, she was a virgin. And she was betrothed to a man named Joseph. But his family was no better. They lived hand to mouth as well. And yet God chose this poor, uneducated girl who would carry the Son of God. The second person of the Trinity was going to come and incarnate in the world, and she was going to be the mother. And I was selected to give her the news. I left again the presence of God, and I came down to Nazareth. To Nazareth. She wasn't even from Jerusalem. And as I came, I stood invisible in the family home, and I watched as the family interacted for some time, and I waited. I waited until Mary was alone in the house. And then outside, once again, I hid the aura of the divine. I cast aside my power, and I manifested myself to look very much like I looked toward Zechariah. And I approached the front door. I knocked. And when she opened, our eyes met only briefly. And then she looked down, covering her face with her head covering. And I said to her, "Greetings, you who is highly favored by God." And she backed away from the door. What kind of greeting is that? I stepped inside and I said, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor from the God Most High, who you serve." She continued to back away and fell onto the floor, just against the wall, shaking, scared. I walked towards her and knelt down, but not too close. And I said, "Look, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Your child will be called the Son of the Most High God, and he will reign on the throne of his father David. He will rule over Jacob, and he will reign forever. His kingdom will have no end." And then from the floor, trembling like a child, this 15-year-old woman said, "How can this be, since I have never had sexual relations with a man?" And that was a very legitimate question. I said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of God Most High will overshadow you. And therefore this child will be called the Son of the Most High. And look, even your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with the forerunner of the Messiah in her old age to show that nothing is impossible with God. This is the moment. This is the moment where you people always fail. Where the thoughts and the questions and the doubts come boiling to the surface, and as they reach the top, Adam takes the bite of the fruit. The thoughts and the feelings and the doubts boil up to the surface, and Abraham forgets that God is powerful and practically sells his wife into slavery. This is the moment when Israel sees a couple of giants and they forget that God had struck down the entire Egyptian army. They forget God's power and they run away from God's promises. This is the moment where an old priest sees an angel appear before him in the holy place of God. And he forgets all the stories, all the histories, that God is in the business of helping old men impregnate their old wives. And he chooses to act on doubt. And here before me was a poor peasant girl, a virgin. She knew nothing of the world around her. She had no education whatsoever. And as she trembled on the ground, doubtless with thoughts and feelings and questions running through her mind, she whispered to me, "See, I am the Lord's servant. May it all happen to me as you have said." The peasant Virgin Mary chose to believe God. I left. Mary chose to trust the unbelievable message. She chose to have faith instead of embracing her doubts. And soon, the Christ child was born to her. The second person of the Trinity incarnate, walking upon the earth, Jesus grew. And he laid his life willingly down on a cross for the sins of the whole world, the spotless Lamb of God. And he was resurrected again on the third day, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. I know that message for some of you is hard to believe. It is unbelievable that all you have to do is have faith. All that you have to do is trust that Jesus died for your sins and rose again, and your sins will be forgiven, and you'll be adopted into God's family, and you will have a forever kingdom that you will live in forever and ever. I know that is absolutely unbelievable for many of you, and the feelings of doubt bubble up. You don't have to act on your doubts. You can choose to believe instead. How should you respond to God's unbelievable news? You should respond to God's unbelievable news by trusting God, by believing God. There are a million voices in this world, and a million voices beyond this world crying out to you to doubt, to embrace unbelief, to not believe the words of God. There are a million voices crying out in a cacophony to say, "Doubt, doubt, just sin and be done with it." But there is one voice that calls out to you today. There is one voice that cuts through the cacophony of that vile chorus. It is the one voice of the one who created all things. It is the voice of the one who holds the entire universe in his hands. It is the voice of the spotless Lamb of God who laid his life down for you and rose again and lives forevermore. Those million voices of doubt cry out to you even now. They tell you there is no God. There is no salvation. There is no redemption. There is no hope. There is no peace. There is no joy. There is no love. Doubt, doubt, doubt. And the voice of He who died and rose again, the voice of the spotless Lamb of God, cuts through the noise and is calling you today in this very moment and is saying to you, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me instead. It is unbelievable news. It's good news. You should respond to this incredible news that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save you from your sins by believing God. Don't be like Zechariah, who allowed his doubts to overcome him and chose to act on his doubts. Be like Mary, who heard the absolutely unbelievable news, and she chose to believe. If you choose to believe, then you'll see.